If you have your Bibles, if you go ahead and turn to John chapter 13 while we get started. John 13. I was asked to not say it should be a short message tonight. I say that and I end up lying. Jordan told me that. But it should be a short message.
Because John chapter 13, just kind of review over the last couple of weeks. We was in Romans there for a while. We looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We saw there how that we're challenged as a believer, and that was to give our life as an unbridled and unblemished sacrifice to the Lord. And we saw also that week that we either going to let our senses rule us, or our soul rule us, or the Spirit of God to rule us. So we saw that we shouldn't be sensual nor soulish, but we ought to be spiritual. And then we saw the next week in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 5, we saw the relationship to the brethren. It should be intelligent. We should not think more of ourselves or less of ourselves than we should. And we saw it should also be intelligent, how God put all the parts of the body together. And then the next time we saw Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 13, our purpose was with the gifts given to the church, what was to, they were some to expound the word of God, and they were some to expand the work of God. And we saw there how a body is to work together. Now, go ahead and turn over there on the front part of the page, John chapter 13. If you're able to stand, I ask you to stand as we read scriptures tonight, and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. John chapter 13, verse 1. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, and he lay aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but what thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, That thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also that my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you well say, for so am I. If I then be your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verse 14 and 15. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that is sent them. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Father, Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I ask you to tell my mind just to stop and just to stop for a second and to be able to look and remember and recall things that we have studied. Lord God, I pray you put a hedge above my lips that I would not say anything I should not say. Lord, I pray you call to my memory anything that I should say, that I ought to say. Father, Lord, I pray now as we just stop for a few moments here tonight and to look into thy word. Holy Spirit of God, I know you want to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that we'd be listening. Accomplish your will, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You're good to have a seat. And there on your notes, and then next to John 13 is a blank. And if you want to write in there, Philippians 2, 25 through 30, and then turn over there. Philippians 2, 25 through 30. I will go slower. And if anybody would like a copy of the notes that's filled in, you can see my wife, and she'll get you a copy of the notes. So I was told tonight I go way too fast. I will try to go slower. And so Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 30, we see here another example of service, a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you heard he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God hath mercy on him, and not only him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. So we see here, Ben, that was a great service to Paul and a great service to his church. And you know, tonight I'll go back to John 13. And I think we're going to stay here for the most part. John chapter 13, and then we saw the introduction things we've seen so far. And, you know, then the point of context, what I call that. Last week I concluded the illustration of how. Let me come back up here real quick. So I'm moving kind of slow tonight. Here's my wife. Wait. Can anybody tell me how we ended up last week? What was the last illustration we used last week? Anybody remember? I was trying to get her to like her, but I was doing the fourth, fifth grade. I stole her pen one day, didn't I? I stole her pen. I'm the best. You can have it. But finally, I said, you grab me, and I'll give you your pen back. And she said, nope, not happening. So, you know, so I kept the pen. You know, I'd pull her hair. You know, I was just doing what I thought guys should do to get the girl's attention. I didn't know how to win her heart. I had an idea, and I thought I knew, but the idea I had was the right thing. Okay, thank you, lady. Tonight, the first thing I think we ought to learn to do is wash one another's feet. So let's look here at our notes. We saw here in the text. Let's back at verse 4. We'll read our text again. John 13, 4. I ain't saying you're going to wash each other's feet, so don't get too scared. He rises from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou not wash my feet? And then look on down to verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now let's go ahead and switch over to our notes. I'm going to read these all before I get in trouble. Now, room number one, we learn from his labor. We learn from his labor. We're going to see here what Christ did. We learn from his labor. And then, is your back okay, Brother Davis? If you could come here and sit just for a second. You can sit up on the platform if you want. Number one, we learn from his labor. Then letter A, several facts to keep in mind. Several facts to keep in mind. Are we okay, Miss Jones? Okay. Several facts to keep in mind. Number one, we see that washing the feet was a job of the Gentile servants. To wash the feet. Number two, we saw that he washed without being told to or asked to. He washed your feet without being told to or asked to. Number three, those feet he was washing with one belonged to the man who was betraying him. One set belonged to the man he was betraying him. One set belonged to the man who would deny him three times. And the rest belonged to men who would run and hide. And John followed a great way off.
So there's several facts. Then letter B. Nice pause. Letter B. We see he had a purpose in what he did. He had a purpose. A is facts. Letter B is he had a purpose. Number one, he wanted to teach them what being a servant was all about. He wanted to teach them what being a servant was all about. If you read over in Luke, this is the same account with just before this. They had been arguing over who was the greatest. So he wanted to teach them what being a servant was all about. Number two. He served with no thought of reward. Then we're going to look back at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be a secret, that the Father which in secret seeth in secret shall himself reward thee openly. So we see to serve not with the idea of reward. Then number three, a thought. We must teach the next generation how to serve. I think it's important that we, this generation, teach the next generation how to serve. It needs to be taught. Number four, sometimes we serve those who refuse to serve or don't deserve it. Sometimes we serve those who refuse to serve or don't deserve it. Number one, we see from his labor. Number two, we learn from his lordship. We learn from his lordship. Letter A, God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. Back to John, there at the line next to it, John chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1, 1. It's referring to Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then look at verse 14 also. And the Word which made flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of his own, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see that Christ was, he was God in the flesh. Letter B, we see that he was God the Creator. God the Creator. And a reference for that is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, I think it is. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So we see that he's God in the flesh. We see that he's God the Creator. Letter C, two blanks. One is Savior. One is Redeemer. Savior, Redeemer. Third blank over. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we see he was God in the flesh. He was God the Creator. He was the Savior, Redeemer. And then letter D, back to John 13, 14. We see here verse 14, 15. If I then be your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. But we see here that we see in verse 15, we are to serve one another. Not an option. We are to serve one another. Then Roman numeral 3, we must learn from his love. The first blank is love, second blank is John 1:1. Look back at John 13:1. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We see that we must learn from his love. Now, about this week, as I was thinking about that tonight, but you know, and you know, with another message I was going to preach, but I think I'm going to do it next week. But I kept coming back to this message this week in my mind all week long. Well, we see here that Jesus, God in the flesh, the Creator, the Redeemer, all that He is, one day He took and He bowed at the feet of the men that would. With Judas had already went and made arrangements to betray Christ. He knew that Peter would deny him 3 times. He knew the others would flee. But he loved them. They did not deserve his love. They did not deserve his act of kindness. But because he loved them, Jesus Christ took off his outer garment. And he went and got a vase and some water and a towel, and he stooped down, and he would have taken their sandals off, and he would have washed their feet. Not only did he wash their feet, but he finished the job, and he dried their feet, knowing what they would do, knowing what those men would do. Knowing what Judas had already done, he washed the feet of the man that those feet had already been and made arrangements to betray the Savior. Those feet one day would carry that man in, to kiss the Savior, to show who he was. Those men, he washed their feet. They did not deserve our Savior serving them. And then he says, I'll give you an example that you should follow. And my thought tonight is it's very short. Let's serve each other. Let's serve each other. But personally, they don't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. Personally, you don't know what they said about me. Look at Judas. But Lee, you just don't understand. You know, I just don't like the way they look. Well, isn't that more sensual than spiritual? But Lee, you don't understand. You know, I just don't like them. I know things about them. Isn't that more soulish than spiritual? Christ knew everything about Judas. He knew everything at the beginning from the end. He was the Creator. He knew him. He knew what he had said. He knew what he had done. He knew what he was going to do, and he loved him. And he loved him. Let's just learn to serve each other. When you see a brother, say hi, Brother Allen. It's good to see you again. And take time to say, it's good to see you. I guess just serve each other. Open the door for each other. Look at me for real quick. I've learned a lot as a husband. Still learning. I've learned, number one, I can call her my wife. I can call her my friend. I can't call her woman. I can't do that. You know what? I've learned that she likes flowers sometimes. I've learned, you know that she likes when I get up and make the beds. She's surprised when I get to make the bed sometimes. She loves them when I do dishes, but I can't do laundry. One time I did the laundry. She was sick, and so I put all the laundry in the washing machine. I got back and I looked. I said, "How does water stay in that thing?" I looked again. I thought,
It doesn't make sense. So I put in the laundry detergent. I sprinkled it in. And I went to shut the door. I thought, this can't work. So I shut the door. I looked up in the knob. And all, the only thing it said was high dry, low dry. And it was a dryer. So I'm not allowed to do laundry, am I? She don't like me doing laundry. You know, I've learned her. I've learned what she likes. Brothers, sisters in Christ, you know what we all like? Somebody to be kind to us. Come in, somebody say, hi, how are you? I'm praying for you. I heard you had a bad week this week. I'm praying for you. A text, and in the middle of the daytime, nighttime, not 2 in the morning, but maybe, you know, daytime, nighttime. You know, you say, I don't have a problem. If tonight we was at a church that had a foot washing, if we was there tonight, is there anybody that you would not let touch your feet? Anybody's feet you would not wash? He left us example. No matter what the other person had done, for us to serve them. What if we had a prayer time tonight, and we paired everybody up, said, "Brothers, sisters, I want all the men, I want you so and so to pray together, so and so to pray together, so and so to pray together." Would it be somebody you wouldn't want to pray with because of something that about them you just don't like, or something that you know? Or would you understand that they're brother in Christ and they can pray too? If they just come across a parking lot with a heavy load, would we stop and say, "Here, can I help you out? Can I carry that for you?" If they come in, you tell they say, I'm having a hard time with something, just go down and sit next to them and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." And adults, we need to teach the younger people how to serve. We can say we love you. Like I said before, I can tell my wife that I love her all the time. But if I'm never nice to her and I don't try to serve her, she's going to think she just don't care. We should never walk through the back doors and feel like we come here and no one cares. No one loves us. The other day, and I've got more Hall of Shame than I do Hall of Fame. And it's not Hall of Fame. It's not a big thing. The other day, someone called, and their sewer was messed up. Sewer line was messed up. They called, and I said, "Well, I can't get to you right now, but I'll get to you in a couple of weeks." It took a couple of weeks. I got over there. I laid, this top of sewer pipe was broke. I got the cap off and everything. You know what that's doing? That's serving. I might have just lost my reward because I told you about it, but that's serving. Maybe you see someone's made that their grass is high. They've been busy, and you have some time. Swing by. Cut their grass. Maybe you see somebody come to church, and we just look around and say, "God, help me be a servant." And those of us that are getting older, let's allow the younger ones, when they offer to help us, allow them to help us. I'm terrible. Tonight, my back's killing me, but it's nobody's fault. I chose this morning, I wanted to pick up a floor machine, and some young guys there watching, and I wasn't going to let him know my back was hurting. So I picked it up, and I just, on the way down, it's just, ugh. Well, I should have done it. Say, "Listen, do you mind helping?" But sometimes we get prideful, and then we wonder why the young people don't grow up knowing how to serve. When it comes time to serve the church, when we have activities and things, let's learn. I encourage you, the discipleship class this Sunday night. Discipleship class. Come to discipleship class and listen and learn and grow. But let me ask you a question. Sometimes serving is saying, "Can I help you?"
and allowing
somebody to help us. We should be a church that's known. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Let's not only love inside the church walls. Let's love outside the church walls. Ask God to help us be attentive to other people's needs and desires and be able to be a help or a blessing to them. With Epaphroditus, who was sick almost unto death because of his service. With General Booth, the founder of the you put it back on, I can't. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, which at one time was a great organization, from what I understand. Late in age, he was given an opportunity to speak at a big convention. And he was older, and he was sick, and he said, I can't come, there's no way I can come. And they asked him 3 or 4 times, and they finally said, if you write a speech out, we will hire an orator to read your speech to the convention. He said, well, okay, I can do that. So the agreement was that he'd write the speech out and put it in a sealed envelope, and it would not be opened until the day of the convention. It would be handed to him, and the speaker went up to read it. And the day came, the guy got up and opened it, and he looked at it, and he said, others. And he folded it, and that was the whole speech. Whole life about others. Is our life more about ourselves or others? God the Creator, God in the flesh, God that knew all things, his life was about others. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. He cared those that one day would betray him. He cared. The one that would one day deny him 3 times in one night and swear, he cared. He cared about the disciples that would run away. We have I forget, pastor preached on hearts here a while back. And he has people to pray for hearts. And we took up a list, a heart list. I call it a heart list. Jerry, Doug, Donald, DJ, Alan, Brandon, Jacob, Tom, Lily, Regina, Clinton, Tony, Shelley, Randy, Daryl, Linda, Tim, Mike, Eric, and Brady, with Tiffany, Willie, Stephanie, Aaron, Hickey, Bobby, Seema, Josh Headley, Jason, Tracy, Jeff, Vicky, Mike, Virgil, Kyle, Dasha, Jared, Gary, Melanie, Nick, Youth, Randy's cousin, John, Chelsea, Lee, and Gary. People that we don't know all the details of the heart list, but people that are just out of the church. You know, it would be nice if they would hear how much that we love each other and how much we serve each other. They'd say, you know what, that church is different. That's a good church. They love in word, and they love indeed. I'm not saying we excuse sin. We don't do that. But we love folks. We preach hard. We love folks. Folks that mess up, we go to them, say, listen, I love you. I'm praying for you. I call Brother Calvin this week. Brother Calvin just sometimes things get in his head. I said, Brother Calvin, I said, I love you. I'm praying for you. What can I pray with you about today? He started crying. He said, would you pray? I really hurt myself this week. I can't walk except to hold a chair up. My neighbors are going to get me food. They're taking good care of me. He said, Brother Calvin, I love you. If you need groceries, call me. I'll go to the store for you. You know why? He's a brother. He's hurting. He's somebody he knows that we don't like him not being here. But you know what? That's what we should do. Serve one another.
Brother Gazzer tonight. His daughter calls. She calls because she knows we love her dad. She knows that we loved her mom. She saw us serve her mom and her dad. And hopefully we'll be able to reach her one day. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have one for another. The bus kids come to church every Sunday. Can we name them? Do we ever just say, hey guys, how you guys doing? Good to see you today. Man, it's good to see you. With the last couple weeks, I missed you. Are you okay? You been on vacation or something? Watch. I had to learn things my wife liked. We have to learn to serve each other. It doesn't come natural. But I promise you this. Turn, if you would, to 13:17. I'll be done. What serving others does. 13, I think it's verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye, right? If you do them. If you know these things and you do them, happy are ye. We know what's right to do. Do we do it? We know it's right to be nice to each other. We know it's right to serve each other. Let's just learn what's right. And let's do it. Last time, please. One more time. I'm glad I learned what my wife likes. And I did them. Now happy am I. Great life. At the church, it should be the same thing. Let's serve each other. Let's love each other. Let's pray for each other. Not only should we tell each other that we love each other, but times it'd be a time of washing feet. It'd be a time of helping carry stuff in, open the door, stepping back and letting somebody come through. There's nobody here that doesn't deserve to be loved. Last illustration, I think of David in the back. He's been coming how long, David? Long time. Great guy. If you've not hugged him, you're missing a blessing. If you've not told him you love him, you're missing a blessing. I forget who it was one time. I think it was a perfect example of serving. They brought their baby up to David and let David hold the baby. I forget who it was. They brought their baby in and David held the little baby for a second. You think that didn't make him feel special?
Sure did.
You think that didn't make him feel loved? He's a brother in Christ. Let's serve him. Let's learn. It's good to see Alan's back. Brother Alan's back tonight. It's good to have them back. You know what? They should walk in like they never left. Because we love them. We talk to them like they just left yesterday. More than yesterday. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love you. Lord, I pray tonight